Hello, Radio Land. This is Bishop J.J. Reed coming to you live from the Powerhouse of Deliverance Ministries in Bay St. Louis and Picayune, Mississippi. One church in two locations. And we're so glad that you've tuned in today to hear the word of the Lord. You know, as Jesus was attacked by the devil in St. Matthew chapter number 4, he made the statement, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded from the mouth of the Lord." That tells us that we don't live by our natural food by itself, but we live by every word that proceeded from the mouth of the Lord. In Jeremiah chapter number 3, God also speaks and says, "I'm going to take one out of a city and two out of a family, and I'm going to lead them to Zion," that is the church, "and I'm going to give them pastors according to my own heart that's going to feed them with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding." So today, I'm so glad again that you've tuned in, and we're going to take you into the word of the Lord, and we're going to feed you as the heritage of the Lord, that you might grow up, grow out, and that your branches might extend over the walls. We're going to go into the word of God. Just real quick, they called me yesterday and said, "Pastor, can you give me a subject so I can help the media department out?" And I shot them back the subject, called Searching for Opportunity. And, it's a broad subject, but I took it out of 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse 1, when the Bible says that David, when he had come to the throne, when he had, let me put it this way, in our sense, in our interpretation, he had arrived. He had come to the place of his destination. And what do I mean by that? He's functioning in the hope of his calling. Because if y'all know, we never just arrive. We're always growing. There's always room for improvement. I've learned, that the biggest room in the world is the one for improvement. It's not the living room. It's not the kitchen. It's not the bedroom. It's not the bathroom. But the biggest room in the world is the one for improvement. Amen. And all of us got room for improvement. Am I right? But David had come to the place where he was functioning in the hope of his calling. And the Bible says when he got to that place, it says that he began to look back over his life and also look forward. And he asks and he poses a question. Put if you would, 2 Samuel 9, verse 1 on the screen. 2 Samuel 9, verse 1. It says, "And David said," hear what he said, "Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul, that I may show him kindness?" Everybody say kindness.
Kindness.
"For Jonathan's sake." David was searching for an opportunity to leave a deposit in somebody's life and help somebody along the way. You know, many times we're looking for people to deposit into our lives, but we don't look for opportunity to deposit into somebody else's life. And, we use all kind of excuses to excuse ourselves why we can't deposit into somebody else's life. But as King David did, he searched for an opportunity to leave a deposit in somebody's life. Now, I can tell you the story and I really want to get down to an example here. The story is he and Jonathan had made covenant. And the Bible says that Jonathan loved David as his own soul. Oh, glory to God. When you just love people, I was in Charleston, West Virginia this week and sharing in a conference. And I was telling them, basically how much I love the people of God. I appreciate, the people of God. Now that starts, first of all, at home, because if I'm not good at home, loving my wife and loving my children, God help you all. And then it don't only start there, but it starts with me. Everybody say principle. There's a principle. How many of you just love you? Sometimes you do things and you say things and, that's disappointing to you. But the thing is, that shouldn't take the love away from you.
That's right.
Because watch how Jesus put this principle. He says, somebody asked Jesus, says, Jesus, what's the greatest command of all? Jesus says, okay, the first one is this, that you love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your might, your strength. And then he says, the second one is like unto it, that you should love your neighbor, how? As yourself. Now, some of us don't do we don't do justice in loving ourselves. We really don't. We skimp, we pinch, we can't afford on ourselves. So, your neighbor don't have no choice. They don't have no work. They ain't got a chance. Because, if you don't thoroughly love you, you got to thoroughly love you and appreciate what God has done in you, for you, through you, and what God has put on the earth. God didn't make no mistake when he made you. I just want to talk to you this morning, all right? I'm just coming out of a conference, two conferences back to back, and I've seen some things and, I've heard some things. I've heard from God. And I just want to encourage you today that you got to do a thorough job, in loving you. You know, if we're going to search for opportunity to show kindness and to do good to somebody else, you first got to do good to you. You first got to bless you. You first got to love you enough to take care of you. Physically, let's talk about physically. Physically, you got to love you enough to take care of you. I was talking to a little group yesterday morning, and I showed them something. I showed them this here. This is something that I wear all the time, and this is, anybody know what this is? And what does it do? It counts my steps. I want, for me, because I want to look good. God called me to be the light of the world. Now, you call it bragging. You call it what you want to call it. I want to look good. I want to look sharp, because I am an ambassador. That's what he called me. And that's what he called you, an ambassador. So the thing is, I want to be able to walk. I want to be in good shape. I got a wife that I don't want to look all sloppy, no. I want to look good for her. I got children. I want to look good for them. I got a congregation. I want to look good for you. Wherever I go, I want to look good for you. He the pastor, powerhouse. What church you go to? You got a good looking pastor. And he takes care of himself. Who you married to? Jeffrey. Oh, you got a good looking husband. Now that's on the physical side. So the thing is, I get to time, I got 892 steps on this thing right now. All right. I have over 9,000 more steps I got to take today, to hit my goal. I have a goal every day. You know why? Because I love me. I love me, and the thing is, when you love something, you take care of it. Right? Now, the thing is, when you don't love it, people say, you see people in all kind of shape and all kind of condition. They say, well, I love me, but, no. The thing is, action speaks louder than words. Action speaks louder than words. The thing is, I'm going to fix myself up. My wife accuses me all the time of being in the mirror all the time. Yeah, because, when I step out in public, I want to look good. I want to look the part. Not only do I have a family, I have a congregation. I have a constituency. I have a constituency, in the city that looks to me, as their representative to the city. I want people to say, and I got a good looking representative. He represents us well. All right, so I've got to take care of myself, to represent you. When I step up and represent you, I don't only look the part, I'm the part. I take time to educate myself. I take time to inform myself, to stay informed. I stay time to stay on top of things. You know, so I love me. Now, in loving me, that helps you out a whole lot. You know, because whatever I'll do for me, I'll do for you. Let me say it again. If I do it for me, I'll do it for you. If I say, if I walk in a store and say, oh, that costs too much, I'm not buying that. Or I can't afford that. Well, you ain't ever have to ever worry about getting that from me to you. Because because if I excuse myself from it, I'm certainly not going to get it for you. You see, that's how the principle works. That's how life works. So there is nothing in this life that you're not worthy of or you shouldn't be able to have. Because here's the mindset of God. God don't care what you have. Matter of fact, God don't put no limits on it. We put limits on ourselves. We say things like this here. Well, I'm not going to have that because of what the people will say. But you ain't got no chance. Because if I get it for you, then I'm worried about what the people will say about you too. You see, so the thing is, God don't care what you have as long as it don't have you. As long as he is first place in your life, you can have anything on this earth. Have you ever read Psalms? What is it? Chapter 110, where he says that the heavens is the Lord, but the earth has he given to the children of men. God has given you this earth. You can go anywhere you want to go. You know, Hawaii is waiting for you.
Hey!
Europe is waiting for you. London, Paris, Africa, around is waiting for you. The Caribbean islands are waiting for you. And you know, most of the time we don't go those places because we have the saying, "I can't afford it." How many was with us several years ago at the marriage conference in Richmond, Virginia? Okay, you remember what I took out of the vocabulary of the men? Huh? Can't afford. All right, Radio Land, we thank you for tuning into this radio broadcast, and we trust that your soul has been blessed by the word of the Lord. You know, Jacob in Genesis 27, verse 27, was blessing his son, and he said that, "May the smell of my son be as the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed." And we hope today that through the word of the Lord, that you are going to be as a smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. That means that you're flowering. That means that you're producing. That means that you're going forth. That means that you're influencing and affecting your environment. I also want you to write in, you know, to us at Powerhouse of Deliverance Ministries. Our address is 1978 Washington Street, Bay St. Louis, Mississippi, or at 800 South Beach Street in Picayune, Mississippi. We also want to give you opportunity to purchase the rest of this sermon, you know, on CD or DVD. You know, you can make your vehicle driving or rolling university, you know, by popping in that CD and finishing up the messages of the Lord. Because again, the word of the Lord says that you're not going to live by bread alone, but you're going to live by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of the Lord. So you can order these CDs, you can order these DVDs, so you can always have a spoken word. You can always have a rhema word ready. Because, you know, I'm recalling a story in the Old Testament that David was running from Saul, and he ran to the house of God, and in running to the house of God, he asked the priest, he said, "What's that under your arm?" And the priest said, "This is bread, it's holy bread." David said, "I have some of that." Then the next thing David asked, "Do you have any weapons here?" And the priest tells him, "Nothing but the sword of Goliath, who you killed in the valley of Elah." Well, David said, "I would have that sword also." So that tells us the reason we, amen, receive a rhema word and go to the house of the Lord is get bread. bread to eat and a weapon to fight with. So God bless you today, and we trust that you've got bread to eat and a weapon to fight with. Hello, Radio Land. This is Bishop J.J. Reed coming to you live from the Powerhouse of Deliverance Ministries in Bay St. Louis and Picayune, Mississippi. One church in two locations. And we're so glad that you've tuned in today to hear the word of the Lord. You know, as Jesus was attacked by the devil in St. Matthew chapter number 4, he made the statement, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded from the mouth of the Lord." That tells us that we don't live by our natural food by itself, but we live by every word that proceeded from the mouth of the Lord. In Jeremiah chapter number 3, God also speaks and says, "I'm going to take one out of a city and two out of a family, and I'm going to lead them to Zion," that is the church, "and I'm going to give them pastors according to my own heart that's going to feed them with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding." So today, I'm so glad again that you've tuned in, and we're going to take you into the word of the Lord, and we're going to feed you as the heritage of the Lord, that you might grow up, grow out, and that your branches might extend over the walls. Because see, as long as we use that word, it's always a way out for us. But we don't want a way out. We want a way in. We want the blessings of the Lord that makes us rich and adds no sorrow. So David comes to that point in his life and he says, now, when David makes the statement that, "Is there any left of the house of Saul that I want to show him some kindness for Jonathan's sake?" Touch your neighbor and say, "It's going to cost him something." Because whenever you want to show kindness, it's going to cost you something. Well, let me just tell you the story. What happens here, the Bible says that they find Mephibosheth, who has crooked feet. He got a limp in his life. All right. And he's in a place called Lodibar, and David calls him out of Lodibar. And you know what David does? First of all, he restores his identity. You know, that he's Mephibosheth, so I'm going to restore your identity. Second of all, David restores, his place at the king's table. Because princes ate food at the king's table. And third of all, watch this here, he restores all the land that Saul had. All the land that Saul had lost, all the land that his grandfather had lost, what David does, he gives all that land back to Mephibosheth. And when he gives the land back, Mephibosheth don't have to work the land. He assigns a certain group to work the land for him. Plant his seed, harvest his crop. You know, because Mephibosheth is going to be where he belongs, at the king's table. So when you show kindness, kindness should be to the point of that you're restoring something in somebody's life. You're bringing something back that they had lost. You're putting them in a position that they're fallen from. That's when you show kindness. Now, when we say it's going to cost you something, I want to demonstrate this, and then we're going to quit because there's some good food next door. I was telling the conventioners on this week, I had to minister. Well, I had the opportunity to minister Friday night was my night, but they wanted me to do ministry to some leaders on Friday evening and then yesterday morning. And I said, you know, I just did a conference in Bay St. Louis in April. I'll tell you how this conference went. It started at 7 o'clock p.m. And they had praise and worship. And we must have had praise and worship how long, baby? About 20 minutes? About 20 minutes. So, Mama, that took us to about 7:20. Then we had presbytery. And presbytery, we must have went about an hour in presbytery, 45 minutes to an hour. You know, so that took us to around 8:15, 8:20. But hear what the pastor told me. He said, "Now, the restaurant closed at 9. So he says, we got to be out of here by something to 9 to get to the restaurant that closes at 9. So he would give me the microphone. The two nights I did the conference, he gave me the microphone at about 8:20, 8:25, you know, and I gave it back to him at 9:15. So we can be out of there. You know the scenario of the story? It don't take long to say what God wants to say. Because what they were doing, Rabbi, you know, we in the conference, we started at 7. Praise and worship team sang. I told my wife they sang to about 8:05, 8:10. Then they took up an offering. The offering went to about 8:30. Then they brought the convention choir on and they sang till about 9:10. And they gave me the microphone at 9:10, Cliff. I said, now the restaurant's closed at 10 o'clock. It ain't going to take me long to say what God has to say. So I gave the microphone back to the bishop at 5 minutes to 10. Yeah, because it didn't take me long to say what God wanted to say. Now, I said that to say this here. You know, when we talk about showing kindness or searching for an opportunity, we've got to have, I was reading a book on this week, and the gentleman said, God has blessed me monetarily. He's blessed me financially. So I give, you know, I give, I tithe, I sow, which brought me to a point. I was in Charleston, and my wife can tell you that Charleston is a place. I asked the question earlier in the first class, you know, do anybody know anything about the Delta in Mississippi? Anybody know that Mississippi has a Delta? Okay. And I asked them, what do you know about the Delta? And one of the first things, the first answer was poverty. So I challenged the city because being a city official, we take in $95,000 to $125,000 in sales taxes every month. Well, you go up to the Delta in the city of Cleveland, you know, who has about the same citizenry as we have. They take up like 320 something thousand every month. So I was asking, we're the coolest town in the nation, and most, you know, being cool, we're influential. But you go to Cleveland, they're in the Delta, they're in poverty. How does a poverty area take in more than an influential area? You know, it don't add up. So being in Charleston, I was in an area where people need an adjustment. You know, I call it a perception adjustment on money. If we're going to show kindness, okay, we need an adjustment about money. And I just want to teach just a little principle here real quick, you know, and then I'm going to let you go spend some of your money, okay? All right. This is how, I told them, this is how you break yokes. This is how you break poverty off of people's lives. You change the way they think. You change what they see. And if you can change the way they think, because the Bible says, as a man... What? So is it. If you can see it, then you can be it. You know, so we got to change the way people think. And I used an example out of St. John chapter number 4, because we're searching for an opportunity. The reason many people don't search for an opportunity because they're looking for somebody. They want somebody to, you know, they want to be the one that's found, you know, so somebody can do something for them. Where the Bible says it's better to give than it is to receive. All right. And this is what this gentleman was talking about. But I said this here that we've got to have, you know, to make a search. That's what made David search. That's what made him look for the opportunity to be a blessing. So I used the principle of tithing. OK, I used the principle of tithing, you know, to teach this particular message. And here's how I did it. The Bible says, put Malachi 3 verse, let's start at verse 8. And we're all familiar with this here because I didn't only teach it, you know, Friday night, but I began to teach it also on Saturday morning in a little setting. It says, will a man do what? Rob. Come on, ask your neighbor, will you rob God? Huh? You know, will a man... A woman, will he rob God? All right. And then God didn't even let you answer. He says, yet ye have what? Robbed me. All right. Now, here's how I had to teach this here. Let me flip over to the kingdom of God. Let me flip over to something you can understand. How many of you got running water in your house? Some of y'all don't have running water. Y'all need some help. You know. I don't want to come to your house. How many of you got a toilet in your house? All right. Tell somebody, I need running water. Because I need running water to flush out stuff that, you know, we leave in that toilet. You know, so we need running water. We need sewer. All right. And here's how I related it. You know, you ain't got to raise your hands on this here, but just think about it. How many of you are behind on your water bill or behind on your sewer bill? Let me show you a principle here. A city is responsible, you know, of providing services to the citizens of that city. Some of the services that a city provides is water. Isn't that right, Henry? Yeah. Sewer. You know, when we flush our toilets, we want that stuff in our toilets to do what? To leave here. That's why you got air freshener, because you can't even stand the smell of it. You know, you certainly don't want it lingering around in there. So you want it to leave here. The city provide garbage collection. How many of you put your garbage cans out on the right of way? Why you don't keep the garbage in your house? You want to get rid of it, right? Well, we provide that. But here's the thing. You got to pay for that. You got to pay for that. If you don't pay for it, that's called stealing. All right, now put that scripture back on the board. God asked the question, will a man rob the city? We don't want to pay our water bill. We don't want to pay our gas bill. We don't want to pay our sewer bill. Then we say it's too much. You know, city ain't asking you for all your money. It's just asking what you owe. We don't charge you all your money. We just charge you what you use. You get it? All right. So that's all God is asking. God is asking, okay, since I provided services for you, I've given you earth, I've given you air to breathe, I've given you water to drink, I've put clothes on your back, I've kept you in your right mind, I've given you health, and, you know, he says, you know, have you paid your bill? If you haven't paid your bill, you robbed me. He says, and then you says, God, well, wherein have I robbed you? You ain't paid your water bill. City asks, you know, how you think I'm stealing from you? All right, Radio Land, we thank you for tuning into this radio broadcast, and we trust that your soul has been blessed by the word of the Lord. You know, Jacob in Genesis 27, verse 27, was blessing his son, and he said that, may the smell of my son be as the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. And we hope today that through the word of the Lord, that you are going to be as a smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. That means that you're flowering. That means that you're producing. That means that you're going forward. That means that you're influencing and affecting your environment. I also want you to write in, you know, to us at Powerhouse of Deliverance Ministries. Our address is 1978 Washington Street, Bay St. Louis, Mississippi, or at 800 South Beach Street in Picayune, Mississippi. We also want to give you opportunity to purchase the rest of this sermon, you know, on CD or DVD. You know, you can make your vehicle driving or rolling university, you know, by popping in that CD and finishing up the messages of the Lord. Because again, the word of the Lord says that you're not going to live by bread alone, but you're going to live by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of the Lord. So you can order these CDs, you can order these DVDs, so you can always have a spoken word. You can always have a rhema word ready. Because, you know, I'm recalling a story. in the Old Testament that David was running from Saul, and he ran to the house of God. And in running to the house of God, he asked the priest, he said, "What's that under your arm?" And the priest said, "This is bread. It's holy bread." David said, "I have some of that." Then the next thing David asked, "Do you have any weapons here?" And the priest tells him, "Nothing but the sword of Goliath, who you killed in the valley of Elah." Well, David said, "I would have that sword also." So that tells us the reason we, amen, receive a rhema word and go to the house of the Lord is get bread to eat and a weapon to fight with. So God bless you today, and we trust that you've got bread to eat and a weapon to fight with. Hello, Radio Land. This is Bishop J.J. Reed coming to you live from the Powerhouse of Deliverance Ministries in Bay St. Louis and Picayune, Mississippi. One church in two locations. And we're so glad that you've tuned in today to hear the word of the Lord. You know, as Jesus was attacked by the devil in St. Matthew chapter number 4, he made the statement, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded from the mouth of the Lord." That tells us that we don't live by our natural food by itself, but we live by every word that proceeded from the mouth of the Lord. In Jeremiah chapter number 3, God also speaks and says, "I'm going to take one out of a city and two out of a family, and I'm going to lead them to Zion," that is the church, "and I'm going to give them pastors according to my own heart that's going to feed them with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding." So today, I'm so glad again that you've tuned in, and we're going to take you into the word of the Lord, and we're going to feed you as the heritage of the Lord, that you might grow up, grow out, and that your branches might extend over the walls. How you think I'm stealing from you? Because you laid on your water. You ain't paid your water bill. And let me say it like this here. We ain't no layaway. We ain't no layaway plan. You done used $50 of our water this week, this month. And you want to go down there and you want to pay $15 on it. You know, and then I catch you next month. We ain't no layaway plan. Watch what God says. Watch what God says. Okay. God says, okay, "Wherein have you robbed me? In tithe and offering." And then verse 9, he says, "Ye are cursed with a curse." I made this statement. Listen to this statement. I said, you know, tithing is not a heaven or hell issue. God not going to put you in hell for not, you know, paying tithing. The city is not going to kill you for not paying your water bill. See, tithing is a, put it back up there. It's not a heaven or hell issue. It's a curse issue. What is a curse? Misfortune. Huh? It's a misfortune. You have misfortunes that happen in your life. Come on, let me talk to you. You know, you have all these misfortune. You know, man, at the worst time, why do my tire got to blow out? Man, I had saved up a little money, and now my water heater done went out. My radiator done burst. At the worst, man, I got sick. Then couldn't go to work, but then had to pay the doctor. See, misfortune. And you go on and on with misfortune. So, see, tithing is not a heaven or hell issue. It's a misfortune issue. I was telling my wife, I was telling the class yesterday. I said, I had an issue come up this year. The IRS sent me a letter and said that I owe them $7,000 and some more dollars. And so I brought it to my accountant. And says, you know, there's something, you know, we owe them $7,000, you know, because they say we didn't turn in this here. And we looked at it, and he said, well, we missed it. He says, but no worry, Mr. Reed, no worry. He says, you have over $100,000 in giving that we couldn't take off. And we do it over the years, you know, and says, we'll just go back and get some of that, and we'll call it a washout. You see what I'm saying? So here it is. Here it is. I'll rebuke the devourer. It wasn't the IRS mistake. The IRS ain't no devil. Come on. People say, the IRS, they ain't nothing but a bunch of devils. They're getting all our money. No, the country's got to operate. That wasn't the IRS. That was our mistake. Me and the accountant missed that. So now we got to go back, and now we got to, what do they call it? They got to redo. They have another word, the accountants use. Yeah, the amend. They got to amend our taxes, okay? So, but the bottom line is, when you are a giver, the giving has washed that out. Giving covers your mistakes. Come on. Giving covers your mistakes. And it don't eat into what you have. So I was teaching this thing, on tithe, because he says in verse 9 again, you're cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. I don't have time to go into this whole nation because that's interesting. But go to verse 10. Verse 10 says, now watch verse 10. Bring ye what? Where? Now, look what he says. He says, don't put tithe on the layaway program. Say, Lord, I know I made 500 this week, but, I can only afford 25, and I'll catch you late on the other 25. God said, I know tithe ain't no layaway program. He says, bring all of it. And he says, that there may be what? Need. That there may be water in your house. The city says, bring all the payment so we keep the water on in your house. So we keep the toilet flushing in your house. See, here's what a curse is. Because one of the guys challenged me on yesterday and said that, well, I just can't see it that way. And I said, well, let me put it this way. I said, I drove up here and I was driving 75 and 80 miles an hour. And he said, I do the same thing. He says, I drive 75 and 80 miles an hour, but I drive safe. I said, but the principle is, 70 miles an hour. So whether you drive 75 or 80 or I drive 75 or 80, the bottom line is we broke the principle. We broke the principle. Now, whether we got caught or not, we broke the principle. Right? Everybody tell you, whether we got caught or not? We broke the principle. Now, because we didn't get caught, everybody shout, grace. See, when you didn't get caught, you made it by grace. It was a favor that you didn't deserve. But it was granted to us. The highway patrolman or the police officer, they wasn't there. So we got by with grace. Now, here's the thing. Henry can tell you this here, that people go past the deadline of paying their water bill, and the water's still on, isn't it, Henry? You know why it's still on? Grace. And then what we try to do, we try to take advantage of grace. We try to make it go another month. But then all of a sudden, we jump up in the morning and we got to go to work and we what we ate yesterday and don't agree with our stomach and we run to that toilet and we sit on the toilet and we explode. Glory to God. And then we take that lever and we push it and nothing happens. Everybody said that's a curse. See, that's what a curse is, that when I try to flush that stuff, down the toilet and it don't happen, everybody shout, that's a curse. See, that's a misfortune. That stinks. And then we say, well, we know how to do it. We run and we get a bucket, our mop bucket, and we fill it up with water. And then we're going to go dump it down the toilet and we're going to flush that stuff out of there. But when we turn the water on to get the water to put it in the bucket, no water come out. Because the water's off. Everybody say, that's a curse. Lord have mercy. So now I ain't got no water to flush that stinky stuff down the toilet. The bathroom is stinking. And then the air come on and then it pulls it all the way through the house. And all the house. Oh, that's, I got to get out of here. And then I don't want to come visit your house because there's a curse in there. Pastor, what's the curse? That smell is a curse. So how do I fix that curse? Say it again. pay the bill. I need to go down to the city and pay the bill so Henry couldn't turn my water back on. Henry going to remove the curse from my house, you know, because I did what? I paid my bill. Now I walk over to the toilet, Georgia. Boosh. I just got rid of that curse. You see, so that's what tithing is. Tithing provides services. You know, when he said that there might be meat in my house, that there might be services in my house. Now, watch the promise. The promise is, it says, and he said, prove me herewith, now with, said the Lord of hosts. Now, watch this. And this is what I ministered over the weekend. If I will not open you the what? All right, watch this. Oh, girl, they got some tithe in here. Ooh, praise God. She don't like me looking at her tithe. I like looking at her. Yeah. All right. Amadeus, won't you do this for me? Take these tithes and go outside. And CJ, open that window, the blinds. And Amadeus, go to that window right there. Yeah, we just want to see him when he go out there outside by the window. All right. Now, where is Brother Amade going? Outside. All right. Put verse 10 back up there. I mean, three, verse 10. All right. He says, prove me here. Prove me now here, which said the Lord of hosts, if I will not what? You. He says, read it. If I will not what? Open you the windows of heaven. What am I going to do? I'm going to. Well, what are the windows before you open them? They're closed. They're closed. Heaven is closed. And Amadeus, you want to come in here? He's outside. We experience all this good air conditioning. Trey sitting back, man, laid back on that padded seat he's sitting on. He's standing up outside in the heat. And he would love to be in here with us. Yeah, heaven worked. All right. And he wanted to come in. But how do you get in? He says, bring the tithe. Wave that envelope at me. Oh, okay. So yeah. Now, he got tithe. He said, now, the Bible says, bring them. Now, those tithe is the key that open up the window or the door so you get in. Now, all right, come bring them in. See, Brother Carl, as strong as he is, he can't hold that door closed. He can't. No key can lock that door because the tithe is the master key that opens up the windows of heaven. And look, he comes in and he has the tithe. The tithe opens the window. So now, when he comes in, he's walking under an open heaven. That's what the Bible says. He says, if I will not open you the what? Windows of heaven. So if the windows... All right, Radio Land, we thank you for tuning into this radio broadcast. And we trust that your soul has been blessed by the word of the Lord. You know, Jacob in Genesis 27, verse 27, was blessing his son. And he said that, may the smell of my son be as the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. And we hope today that through the word of the Lord, that you are going to be as a smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. That means that you're flowering. That means that you're producing. That means that you're going forth. That means that you're influencing and affecting your environment. I also want you to write in, you know, to us at Powerhouse of Deliverance Ministries. Our address is 1978 Washington Street, Bay St. Louis, Mississippi, or at 800 South Beach Street in Picayune, Mississippi. We also want to give you opportunity to purchase the rest of this sermon, you know, on CD or DVD. You know, you can make your vehicle driving or rolling university, you know, by popping in that CD and finishing up the messages of the Lord. Because again, the word of the Lord says that you're not going to live by bread alone, but you're going to live by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of the Lord. So you can order these CDs, you can order these DVDs, so you can always have a spoken word. You can always have a rhema word ready. Because, you know, I'm recalling a story in the Old Testament that David was running from Saul, and he ran to the house of God. And in running to the house of God, he asked the priest, he said, "What's that under your arm?" And the priest said, "This is bread. It's holy bread." David said, "I have some of that." Then the next thing David asked, "Do you have any weapons here?" And the priest tells him, "Nothing but the sword of Goliath, who you killed in the valley of Elah." Well, David said, "I would have that sword also." So that tells us the reason we, amen, receive a rhema word and go to the house of the Lord is get bread to eat and a weapon to fight with. So God bless you today, and we trust that you've got bread to eat and a weapon to fight with. Hello, Radio Land. This is Bishop J.J. Reed coming to you live from the Powerhouse of Deliverance Ministries in Bay St. Louis and Picayune, Mississippi. One church in two locations. And we're so glad that you've tuned in today to hear the word of the Lord. You know, as Jesus was attacked by the devil in St. Matthew chapter number 4, he made the statement, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded from the mouth of the Lord." That tells us that we don't live by our natural food by itself, but we live by every word that proceeded from the mouth of the Lord. In Jeremiah chapter number 3, God also speaks and says, "I'm going to take one out of a city and two out of a family, and I'm going to lead them to Zion," that is the church, "and I'm going to give them pastors according to my own heart that's going to feed them with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding." So today, I'm so glad again that you've tuned in, and we're going to take you into the word of the Lord, and we're going to feed you as the heritage of the Lord, that you might grow up, grow out, and that your branches might extend over the walls. Windows of heaven. So if the windows of heaven are open and I come in, then now I am walking where? Under an open heaven. Under open heaven. And that's where you want to be. That's your location in life. For us to ever search for an opportunity to do kindness unto anybody else, we need to be walking under this open heaven. Under the open heaven, you know, so that God can really give us everything we need, and we can be a blessing to anybody and everybody. But the tithe is the thing that opened the window. Now watch what else it says about the tithe. I'm going to be finished here. He says, "Now, when I open the windows of heaven," he says, "and I'm going to pour you out a blessing." See, what the tithe does, it positions you in a position to receive the pouring out of the blessings of God. Whatever heaven is sending to earth or sending to the body, what you have done, the tithe has positioned you to receive what heaven has poured out. Have you ever wondered why, you know, you are blessed and you exceed and you're exceedingly blessed, and then you can have another Christian right on side of you and they're saying, "God, why are you doing for them? You know, I'm a Christian too." You need to check your tithe. You check your key. Is your key working? You haven't done it consistent. It's consistent. It's the consistency in it. All right. Then he said, "I'll pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it." Now, all right. Let me show you something else with the tithe. Come here, Abraham. You know, Melchizedek left. I'm going to have to get me a new Melchizedek. Come here, Cliff. Come on. You be Melchizedek for me. Come on. Come on. All right. And I'll say this here and we're finished, okay? I want to show you how to set not only you up. Yeah. All right? You stand right here, Cliff. You stand right here and face Abraham, okay? Because you Melchizedek. Mm-hmm. All right? Now, I want to show you how to set you up. I want to show you how to set your children up. And I want to show you how to set your grandchildren up. I want to show you how to set generations up. Generations that will come out of your loins that don't even know you, they're going to bless you because of what you're going to do right now. Okay? Watch. The Bible says in the 14th chapter, put chapter number 14 of Genesis on the board. Go to verse 14 and then I'll tell you to back up or go forward. All right? Here what the Bible says. Abraham's And when Abraham heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants born in his own house, 318, and pursued them under Dan. So Abraham is going after these kings that took his nephew. All right, come on, go. Verse 15, go. Verse 15, come on, media. Yeah, there we go. It said, and he divided himself against them, and, he pursued them in the Hobah, which is on the left-hand side of Damascus. 16, come on. It says, and he brought back, what? All the goods. Meaning, Abraham went against these five kings. And he actually went just to get Lot. But, you know, I done got rid of the kings. There ain't no sense in leaving all this stuff here. King's got some good stuff. So the Bible says he brings back all the goods and also brought again his brother Lot and his goods and the women also and the people. So Abraham bought all of it back. Abraham got all of it back. Now, let me tell you something about Abraham. In chapter number 12 of Genesis, it says this here about him. It says that God blessed Abraham. He blessed Abraham and he made some promises to him. He says to Abraham, Abraham, I'm going to bless those that bless you, curse those that curse you. Through you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. That's the promise, Abraham. He says, now, I'm going to bless, I'm going to make your name great. There's seven particular promises there. Abraham has the promises of God on his life. So Abraham is coming back from the slaughter with all this stuff. And it says Melchizedek comes out and meet him. And Melchizedek brings bread and wine. And the Bible says, and Melchizedek blesses Abraham. Let me say, Melchizedek blesses Abraham. Then the Bible tells you this here. It says, after Melchizedek blessed Abraham, it says, Abraham, what he does, he looks at all that he won in the battle, all his goods, and it says, and he gave a tithe to Melchizedek. What is a tithe? A tenth. And it's the first tenth. Now, you need to get this out. People need to get this out of their mind, because people say, you give a tenth, you know, to the church, to the kingdom of God. You give all your money. Everybody say, that's the devil. How many tenths do they have in 100? And if you give a tenth, how much do you have left over? So you have more than God, right? Yeah. So the devil just put things in people's mind and say, you give all. No, if I gave it all, I couldn't live. I don't have nothing to live on. You know, but this is what God does. God takes the 90% that I have left and he blesses it so much that it's more than the 100% that you kept and didn't pay tithe on. And I'm able to do more with the 90%. Than you able to do with the 100. So Abraham pays tithe unto him, gives him a 10%. Now, here's the blessing about this. Come here, Deborah. You Deborah, right? Esther, Deborah. This is Deborah. So I called Deborah this morning. Come on with you. Is Judah still here? Where's Judah? Come here, Judah. Judah's the worshiper. This is the tribe. You remember in the book of Judges, it says, send Judah first. Huh? Why? Because Judah is the praising tribe. As a matter of fact, Judah is the kingly tribe, you know, that Jesus comes out of. It said Jesus is the lion of the what? Tribe of Judah. Then we had, who we had? Joseph. Is Joseph still here? Who was Joseph? Joseph left. Yeah, Joseph left. Come on, Barbara, you be Joseph. You be Joseph. All right. And Juan, I want you to come and I want you, Juan, to be Levi. All right. All right. I'm about to finish, y'all. Yeah. So now here's the thing. When Abraham paid tithe unto Melchizedek, you didn't see none of them. Because they were where? In the loins of Abraham. They were in his loins. But when Abraham stretched out his hand and gave the tithe to Melchizedek, Judah stretched out his hand. Deborah stretched out her hand. Joseph stretched out his hand, even with a double portion on his life. And Levi stretched out his hand. And all of them paid tithe unto Melchizedek. Watch y'all, 400 years before the law. So don't tell me tithing is of the law. No, they did it before the law ever came, before Moses ever got here. Tithing was in the system. And so they said, the scripture says in the book of Hebrews, then y'all got to consider how great this man is. That he who had the promises blessed or gave tithe unto Melchizedek. And then Paul makes a statement in Hebrews and he says, you know, you got to see that this was a great man because the less is blessed by the better. They call Melchizedek a better man than Abraham, who Abraham is a great man. I think Amadeus and Lolita was telling me that they were in a session a few weeks ago, and there was a lady ministering and say that, you know, everybody can't be Melchizedek because everybody can't handle Abraham's tithe. So this is what I taught the leaders this weekend. Juan, come here. You're Levi, right? Didn't I tell you was Levi? Now, Levi is the priestly tribe. And God said, the tithe is mine, said the Lord. And then God takes the tithe and he gives the tithe to who? It's the priest, Levi. Tell Levi, the tithe is yours. Now, that ain't nobody's business. That's between God and Levi. So God says, your job is to give the tithe to Melchizedek, who is a type of Jesus. Jesus' job, what he did, he gave him to Levi. But Levi, being in Abraham, paid tithe to Melchizedek. And I told the leaders, I said, he that received tithe, pay tithe. Let me say, he that received tithe, pay tithe. I said, he that received tithe, pay tithe. And this is what I was trying to get over to the leaders, Captain, that many leaders think that it stopped with them. And the thing is, they receive tithe, but they don't pay tithe. No, Levi received tithe, but he paid tithe also. Why? Because you don't want no priest who cursed. Come on, y'all. You don't want no priest who water turned off. Who can't get the sewer away from his house. Who can't get the garbage, amen, collected from his house. You know, you want a priest who got free flowing water also. You want a priest who got a flushing toilet. You got a priest who don't have a stinky situation. You know, so therefore, every priest that received tithe needs to pay tithe also. Hallelujah. So tithing is not of the law. It became a part of the law, but it was before the law and it went through the law and it's with us today. Because even in the New Testament church, it says that he that is a what? Of Christ is of the seed of Abraham. You know, and Abraham paid tithe, and all of us, if we the seed of Abraham, we pay tithe to Melchizedek, who is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we keep the cycle going, and the cycle is we walk under open heaven. And in walking under an open heaven, you've been positioned. I'm telling you, you've been positioned. There's some things that happen in the life of the believer that shouldn't happen. But you make it happen because you don't realize where you are. You don't realize who you are. You are walking under open heaven. All right, Radio Land, we thank you for tuning into this radio broadcast. And we trust that your soul has been blessed by the word of the Lord. Jacob in Genesis 27, verse 27, was blessing his son. And he said that, may the smell of my son be as the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. And we hope today that through the word of the Lord, that you are going to be as a smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. That means that you're flowering. That means means that you're producing. That means that you're going forward. That means that you're influencing and affecting your environment. I also want you to write in, you know, to us at Powerhouse of Deliverance Ministries. Our address is 1978 Washington Street, Bay St. Louis, Mississippi, or at 800 South Beach Street in Picayune, Mississippi. We also want to give you opportunity to purchase the rest of this sermon, you know, on CD or DVD. You know, you can make your vehicle driving or rolling university, you know, by popping in that CD and finishing up the messages of the Lord. Because again, the word of the Lord says that you're not going to live by bread alone, but you're going to live by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of the Lord. So you can order these CDs, you can order these DVDs, so you can always have a spoken word. You can always have a rhema word ready. Because, you know, I'm recalling a story in the Old Testament that David was running from Saul, and he ran to the house of God. And in running to the house of God, he asked the priest, he said, "What's that under your arm?" And the priest said, "This is bread. It's holy bread." David said, "I have some of that." Then the next thing David asked, "Do you have any weapons here?" And the priest tells him, "Nothing but the sword of Goliath, who you killed in the valley of Elah." Well, David said, "I would have that sword also." So that tells us the reason we, amen, receive a rhema word and go to the house of the Lord is get bread to eat and a weapon to fight with. So God bless you today, and we trust that you've got bread to eat and a weapon to fight with.